Friday, October 5th, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City right here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday. We talk sports with a dose of common sense. We are very happy to have you here with us today. It is Friday. Happy Friday to you. Yes, we have made it through another week. We have made it through another Friday. Not only is it Friday, but you know what else it is today? It is National Do Something Nice Day. I mean, that sounds simple, doesn't it? I mean, that could be anything from, I don't know, buying a cup of coffee for someone next in line, to giving a compliment to someone at work, maybe just saying good morning to someone that you wouldn't normally say it to, or maybe you're doing something a little more significant with your Do Something Nice Day. Maybe you're sending flowers to someone. Maybe you're doing some work for someone. Maybe you are sending your favorite podcast host a few thousand dollars today. What I'm saying, people, is do something nice today. And no, don't go sending it to Joe Rogan. I meant send it here to the Daily Dose. If you'd like to contact us, let us know the nice things you will be doing today. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Doesn't have to be about National Do Something Nice Day. Maybe you have a suggestion. Maybe you have a subject you'd like us to cover. Maybe you have a top five list or some hump day power rankings that you would like us to cover here on the show. How are we ever going to know unless you send them to us? Today on the show, we do have a number of things we need to get to. Had some things take place last night that we definitely have to cover, but we do also have our weekend sports preview where we take a look at some of the better things that are going to be out there for us to watch over the next 2 days. And I'm telling you right now, there is a ton to watch over the next 2 days. Starting here in a couple hours, there is a ton to watch. We've got a lot of things to keep an eye on in the world of sports this weekend. And as we usually do on Fridays, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5, a very popular segment on the show. Never quite know which way the Daily Dose Top 5 is going to go, but you have to make sure that you tune in on Fridays because it does have a mind of its own. We just try to hold on for dear life and see where it takes us. Starting off with the Major League Baseball playoffs, you know, the National League Division Series did start last night. The first game was at least pretty interesting as the Milwaukee Brewers had to go to extra innings to get rid of those pesky Colorado Rockies in Game 1. The Brewers had a 2-0 lead for most of the game until the Rockies did rally late to tie it up in the top of the ninth. But then in the 10th inning, Mike Moustakas managed a single to drive in the winning run and the Brewers escape with a 3-2 win. You know, I'm wondering, watching Game 1, maybe this ends up being a little bit of a better series than we thought. These two teams are kind of similar. Both have better than expected bullpens. I still give the Brewers an edge, but hey, Colorado is scrappy. Maybe this ends up being a little bit closer than anyone expected. In the other divisional series last night, it did not start off looking like it's going to be a very close series because the Los Angeles Dodgers looked like maybe they are finally ready to be the contender we all think they should be as they dominated the Atlanta Braves last night 6-0 in LA. Hey, we know this. There is no question. The Dodgers are insanely talented. Can they play like this every night? If so, they're going to be tough. If so, they should be considered the favorite coming out of the National League. It's just that we've been waiting for them to do this all season, and it hasn't really materialized. Maybe now that they're mostly healthy, and they're ready to roll, and they know what's expected, and they've been here before, maybe now they're going to start showing that they are truly the best team in the National League. They sure looked like it last night. They dominated the Braves. That was never close. Switching over to the NFL, speaking of teams that are getting better, we are seeing the New England Patriots look like they are getting back on track. They win their second game in a row last night. They beat the Indianapolis Colts 38-24. And no, it wasn't always pretty. The Patriots do still have some issues. Hey, they turned it over a couple of times. And that defense, they've got some flaws. They allowed over 400 yards to the Indianapolis Colts And keep in mind, the Colts are playing with Andrew Luck, still don't know how healthy he is. I know we keep being told how healthy he is. There are still some questions that I have. Doesn't it look like on every single pass, he's trying to throw a touch pass? He almost reminds me of Peyton Manning in his later years. Everything's a touch pass. Even the deep balls are a touch pass. Every once in a while, he'll fire a short pass in there, and you go, okay, maybe he can throw it. Still have some questions about that shoulder. But keep in mind, the Colts were playing last night without their best wide receiver, T.Y. Hilton. They still managed to gain over 400 yards on that Patriots defense. But the Patriots are getting better. They especially are getting better offensively. We saw Josh Gordon. He makes a few catches last night. He scored his first touchdown with the New England Patriots. Sony Michel is starting to look like maybe he will help improve that Patriots running game. He does have that game-breaking speed. And of course, we saw quarterback Tom Brady throw the 500th touchdown pass of his amazing career. Hey, I know there was talk in recent weeks. Maybe the Patriots might be done. And hey, it still might come. This is an older team. If they do have injuries, if they do have attrition, we could see the Patriots take a step back. But after watching them these last 2 weeks, yeah, it's not quite yet. They're still going to be a team to contend with. Hey, coming back, we need to get to our weekend sports preview. Like I said, we've got a lot of things to watch this weekend. Got Major League Baseball playoffs. Got some really good college football. Have some interesting NFL games out there. There is going to be a lot for you to watch over the next few days.
By the end of this podcast, nearly 10,000 new malware variants will have launched. Now AI can help protect your data from threats wherever it lives with IBM Security. Let's put smart to work. Learn more at ibm.com/smart/UK.
So let's get to our weekend sports preview. You know, try to do this every single week. We take a look at some of the upcoming events that will be playing out over the weekend, just to make you aware of some of the bigger things that are out there, because you don't want to schedule something right in the middle of the big game. And you know, we say this every week, but I've had like 2 weddings just in the past month that I've had to go to. Yeah, hey, try listening to the Daily Dose. Maybe we could have helped you with a start time for those weddings. You don't start the wedding right when the big game is starting. And maybe you have something you need to get done this weekend. We try to help you out and say, okay, hey, arrange your schedule this way because there are some good things to watch this weekend. And, you know, with sports betting coming, we now do pick the games, try to give you an idea of which way the games are going to go. And let me just say this. Last week here on The Dose, you can go back and you can listen for yourself. I'm not making this up. We went 7-0. Woohoo! Yeah, take that to the bank. Hopefully you listened. Hopefully you made a little money. And again, hopefully you send some of it to us. But if you lose, we had nothing to do with that. That was all you. Remember, all times given in our weekend sports preview are Mountain Standard, so adjust your schedule accordingly. We get started today at noon. I know it's a little bit early. But maybe you get off early on Fridays. Maybe you're near a TV at work. Maybe you're near a radio at work and you can turn this on. Starting at noon today, we have the Cleveland Indians versus the Houston Astros in Game 1 of the American League Divisional Series. And you know, this actually might be the MLB playoff series that I personally am looking forward to the most. Corey Kluber versus Justin Verlander. Yes, please. That should be highly entertaining. Of course, we know the Astros won it all last year. They could actually be better this postseason than they were last postseason. They finished the season with a major league best plus 263 run differential this season. That's the best in franchise history. Last year's team finished with a plus 196. This team could be more productive. Now, I do worry about the competition that the Cleveland Indians have faced all year. That AL Central was pretty soft, but there's no doubt that their starting pitching is excellent. The one question I have for Cleveland, could their bullpen eventually be a problem For that reason, I will take the Astros in this game that does start again at noon today. Starting at 5:30 tonight, we have another ALDS game as the New York Yankees go to Fenway Park to face the Boston Red Sox in game one of their series. We get a heated, bitter rivalry game right out of the gate. That's not bad, is it? I do think that the New York Yankees could have a chance to steal one of these first two games. We saw what they did to Oakland in that wildcard game. And you see the strength that is the Yankees. Hey, they can pound the baseball out of the park. That's just what they do. We saw them do it against Oakland. The problem that I have, Boston is just so good at home. Chris Sale will be starting for the Red Sox, and I think he might be too good. I'll take the Red Sox in this game, but starting 5:30 tonight, Yankees versus Red Sox. At 7:30 tonight, we will get game two of that Atlanta Braves versus Los Angeles Dodgers series over on the National League side. Hey, there's no question. The Dodgers are the most talented team in the National League, and yet they don't always act like it. Now, if Justin Turner can step up in the postseason, then I think the Dodgers are going to be a tough out. I could see them going all the way to the World Series. But when they don't get production from Turner, for whatever reason, the rest of their lineup just goes downhill. And if that happens, they could actually lose to a young but very, very talented Braves squad here. The Braves, I'll give them this, because of their youth, hey, they're fearless. They are also very inexperienced. And as a result, we just don't know exactly how Atlanta is going to react to being on the big stage, to having all the lights, to having all the press, to having a packed house. You just don't know what they're going to do. I am going to take the Los Angeles Dodgers here to win game two. Let's move forward to Saturday. Got some very interesting college football games that are going to be taking place. And they start bright and early, 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. We have the number 19 Texas Longhorns going to the number 7 Oklahoma Sooners in the Red River Shootout. You'll notice I didn't say Red River Rivalry. I wasn't sure if I could say Red River Rivalry. I thought it might come out Wed Wivel Wivalry, but I got it down, so don't worry about that. The Texas Longhorns seem like they are getting things together. We know they dropped that opener to Maryland, but since then, Tom Herman seems like he has this team figuring out some things. And you know the one thing they figured out more than anything? It looks like maybe they figured out how to play some defense. They have now won 4 in a row, including wins over Southern California and Texas Christian, both ranked teams. Can they carry that into Saturday? Could they knock off number 7, Oklahoma? It won't be easy. We know the Sooners have won 3 of the last 4. But we also know that it seems like no matter how these teams are doing during the season, this game is always a very close game. I am going to take the Oklahoma Sooners behind Kyler Murray and that high-powered offense, but I do think Texas is the more tested team here, and I expect a very, very tight game on Saturday morning. Moving on to 1:30 tomorrow afternoon, we have a pretty good SEC matchup. As Ed Orgeron,
football kind of shaped like a banana,
and the LSU Tigers, who have somehow climbed up to number 5 in the country. I don't know how that happened. I mean, we knew the defense would be good, but we also know LSU can never find a quarterback. You think of all the talent that's been at LSU over these years. They get more talent, pound for pound, than anyone in the country. But name their quarterbacks. They never have a solid quarterback. Well, so far this year, Joe Burrow has already thrown for 6 touchdowns. No, that's not great, but for LSU, it's good. And maybe more importantly, he has 0 interceptions. LSU goes down to Gainesville into the swamp to face the Florida Gators, who now we're not quite sure what they have. Yes, they lost at home to Kentucky. And at the time, you looked at Florida and said, man, they got a long ways to go. They're not very good. But now that doesn't seem like that bad of a loss. Kentucky is pretty solid. I do worry about that Florida passing game, though. And I think LSU defensively is going to control the line of scrimmage, which means Florida quarterback Felipe Franks, he's going to have to do something. I don't have a whole lot of faith in him. I think he's very inconsistent. Yes, I think head coach Dan Mullen is a little bit of a quarterback whisperer. I don't know if he's good enough to get Franks to the level that he needs to be. I will take LSU on the road in Gainesville. At 2 p.m. on Saturday afternoon, we have a Pac-12 matchup that if we would have told you to watch it prior to the season, everyone would have thought we were crazy, but Arizona State is now 3-2. But their losses were both to pretty good teams. They lost to San Diego State, and they lost to Washington, both on the road. Arizona State will go to Boulder, Colorado. They will face the number 21 Buffaloes, the last undefeated team remaining in the Pac-12. The catch for Colorado, they still haven't played anyone. Now, I would think Colorado should have enough. If they can get good quarterback play out of Steven Montez, they should be able to squeak out a win here. But Arizona State versus Colorado tomorrow, that's not a bad matchup. At 2:30, we get game two of the American League Divisional Series between the Cleveland Indians and Houston Astros. Should be pretty interesting. Like I said, this is one of the series I'm looking forward to the most. I like Garrett Cole to get the win for Houston here. At 6 p.m., we've got what could be an interesting college football game because it is very likely that this will be the last time that number 6 Notre Dame faces a top 25 team in the regular season. The problem is, I have no idea what to expect from Virginia Tech. I do know this. When you go into Blacksburg and you go in there at night, you had better bring it because for some reason, the Hokies do play tough at night at home. They get that whole Enter Sandman thing going and all of a sudden you're in a much tighter ballgame than you thought. But I can't figure out Virginia Tech. I mean, they lose to Old Dominion, but then last week, they pound Duke and they made it look easy. And they did it without starting quarterback Josh Jackson. The problem, I think, for Virginia Tech is since Notre Dame has made that switch at quarterback to Ian Book, they look like they might truly be a playoff contender. I'll take Notre Dame on the road to beat Virginia Tech. Final game on Saturday night at 6:15 p.m., we have the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox in Game 2 of their American League Divisional Series. We still have to see who the Yankees are going to have on the mound, but it sounds like the Red Sox are going to have David Price on the mound. He's going to be tough to beat. I just have a feeling that the Yankees are going to steal one of these first two games and make this a very interesting series. I'm going to take the Yankees in this game, but Yankees versus Red Sox on Saturday night should be pretty fun. Moving on to Sunday, we do have a few interesting NFL games that you're going to want to keep an eye on. Starting off at 11 a.m., we have the Kansas City Chiefs going to Jacksonville to face the Jaguars. Hey, we know. We talked about it yesterday. Patrick Mahomes has been very impressive through the first month of the season. He has now thrown 14 touchdowns, and he has zero interceptions through the first four games. We've already heard sports announcers saying, hey, he's doing something we've never seen before. I'm not going to go that far, but he has looked very good. On Sunday morning, he will face a pretty good test, though. The Jacksonville Jaguars defense is leading the league in points allowed with just 14 points per game. Something's going to have to give here because that Kansas City offense is putting up huge numbers. That Jacksonville defense is shutting people down. The question that I guess I have is, do you trust Blake Bortles? No, not really. Or do you trust the Kansas City Chiefs defense? Again, no, not really. You know what? I think I may take Jacksonville here to pull the upset. Couldn't you just see Kansas City, after getting all the pats on the back for coming back to beat Denver on Monday night, maybe not quite preparing like they did for a divisional game? I'm going to take Jacksonville on Sunday morning. At 2:25 p.m., we have an NFL game that prior to the season, we were looking at it like a matchup of maybe the biggest heavyweights in the NFL. And to a degree, I guess it still is. On Sunday at 2:25, we have the Minnesota Vikings going to Philadelphia to face the Eagles. Now, both of these teams are probably a shade behind the Los Angeles Rams right now, but I do still think that both of these teams are capable of getting the ship righted in time for the postseason. Having said that, here is the bizarre thing to think about. The Minnesota Vikings right now are 1-2-1 on the season. The Philadelphia Eagles are 2-2 on the season. The loser of this game wins the Panic Bowl. because whoever loses this game, their fan base is going to be freaking out. Can you imagine if Minnesota drops to 1-3-1? Hey, Kirk Cousins is a bust. Kirk Cousins is a mess. Why in the world are they giving him $80 million guaranteed? That contract makes no sense. If the Eagles somehow lose this game, Super Bowl hangover. It's just Super Bowl hangover. I don't care what team you are. They've just got Super Bowl hangover. One way or the other, we are going to see some major panic coming out of this game. I'm going to take the Eagles because they're at home, but I will almost guarantee that whoever loses this game is going to be gripping pretty hard because they are going to be in full panic mode. At 6 p.m. on Sunday night, we do get Game 3 of that National League Series between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Atlanta Braves. Now remember, these first series are only 5-game series, so you could feasibly see a sweep depending on how the first two games go. I think the Braves are going to steal one here, though. I will take Atlanta to win their first game down at their home stadium. Then, at 6:20 on Sunday night, we have a game that's not a great game, but it might end up being a very interesting game because we are going to see on Sunday night, primetime game, the battle for Texas as the Dallas Cowboys go to Houston to face the Texans. Now, we remember the Houston Texans finally got in the win column last week, basically just thanks to Indianapolis Colts head coach Frank Reich, I don't know, not taking his meds or taking too many of them or doing something stupid. I don't know what he was thinking, but he handed a game to the Houston Texans. On the other side, you have the Dallas Cowboys, who for some reason last week were celebrating like they had won the Super Bowl after they beat the Detroit Lions. I think that kind of tells you where we're at with the Dallas Cowboys right now. Here's the question I have. How many times will Dak Prescott throw the ball? I am saying over 30. And for that reason, I will pick the Houston Texans to get their second win of the season. Hey, coming back, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Earlier this week, we discussed a few early season Heisman candidates so far this college football season. But let's be honest. What's the first thing you think of when you think of Heisman Trophy winners? No. I said be honest. Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. October's Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Cursed, Haunted by Dark Spirits and Evil Creatures. Sorry, but it sounds like you've been cursed. Fight back against your regrettable fate with an exclusive collection of accursed gear. October's Loot Crate theme features items from Attack on Titan, Gremlins, Evil Dead 2, and American Horror Story. Looks like they are getting ready for Halloween over at Loot Crate. But if none of those franchises interest you, remember, you can go to Loot Crate and choose from a huge selection of crates, a monthly subscription of crates, or just individual items. And they have so many things over there, they are sure to have exactly what you need. Of course, the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, be sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order, just as a little thank you for listening to the Daily Dose each and every day. Now, as we do every Friday, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Like I said, in college football, when we think of Heisman winners, we think of a few things, don't we? Many times, we may just think of a player having an amazing season. And for whatever reason, they just were in the right place at the right time. They just put up crazy huge stats. Or maybe when we think of the Heisman winner, sometimes we think of the runner-ups who didn't win, but they went on to actually bigger and better things. But usually, when we think of Heisman Trophy winners, we think of one specific thing. Oh yeah, I remember when that guy won the Heisman, and he has sucked ever since. I mean, think of some of the names to win the Heisman Trophy. It is literally a who's who of, hey everybody, I peaked in college, Troy Smith, Jason White, Eric Crouch, Danny Werfel, Rashawn Salaam, Gino Toretta, all Heisman winners, and we have never heard from them since. And yet, winning the Heisman isn't necessarily a curse. There have been players to win the Heisman Trophy and still go on to bigger and better things. Here today on the Daily Dose, we have the top five most successful Heisman Trophy winners. Five! You might not realize it, but yes, they actually do exist. Starting at number five, he attended the University of Pittsburgh, where he became the first freshman in 29 years to be named an All-American. He was actually Pitt's first All-American since the 60s, but he was just getting started. In his senior season, he actually led the Pitt Panthers to the national title and picked up the Heisman Trophy in the process. But that wasn't the end for running back Tony Dorsett. In the NFL, Dorsett rushed for 12,739 yards. He had 77 touchdowns in his 12-year career, mostly spent with the Dallas Cowboys. I remember he joined the Denver Broncos for like a minute at the end of his career. He was named to the Pro Bowl four times. He did win the Super Bowl once. And Tony Dorsett holds a record that can never be broken. Only tied. He put up a 99-yard touchdown run on Monday Night Football in 1982. Hey, again, he won the trophy. Wasn't quite done. Went on to bigger and better things. Moving on to number four. He might be the greatest short yardage runner in NFL history, which is kind of odd for this guy because you don't look at him like a big giant fullback type. He was more of a lean guy. He was a guy that was just as adept at catching the football out of the backfield as he was running it up between the tackles and finding the goal line. The key for him is he just had a nose for the goal line. And he showed it when he played at USC, where he scored 45 touchdowns. That was just running the ball. That wasn't through the air at all. Then he stayed in the SoCal area because the Los Angeles Raiders drafted Marcus Allen in 1982. He would go on to play 16 seasons in the NFL. He was named to the Pro Bowl six times. He didn't just win a Super Bowl. No, that wasn't enough. He was named the Super Bowl MVP because he ran for 191 yards and two touchdowns in Super Bowl 18. Another Heisman winner? Wasn't done. He went on to bigger and better things. Moving on to number three. This player played his college career at Michigan. He won a national title in his final season, and he is still the only primarily defensive player to ever win the Heisman Trophy. But Charles Woodson's career didn't end at Michigan. He played 18 years in the NFL. Named to the Pro Bowl nine times, he finished his career with 65 interceptions. He's actually currently tied for fifth all time on the interceptions list, and he's tied with Rod Woodson and Darren Sharper for most career defensive touchdowns. He scored 13 touchdowns as a defensive player. He is also second all time in interceptions returned for touchdowns with 11. Charles Woodson is going to Canton very soon, as soon as he is eligible. He comes in at number three. Moving on to number two of our Heisman Award winners that did actually go on to success. This guy put together what is largely regarded as the greatest individual college football season in history. Back in 1988, he led the nation. He averaged 7.6 yards a carry, over 200 yards a game. He rushed for over 300 yards in four games. Unfortunately, after a phenomenal season at Oklahoma State, Barry Sanders got drafted by the Detroit Lions. Come on, the Lions are a franchise that never does anything. That was going to be the end for Barry Sanders. Like, there's only so much you can do. We've seen great players go to bad teams. That's the end of their career. Well, that wasn't it for Barry Sanders. He was a 10-time Pro Bowler. He led the league in rushing four times. He established himself as maybe the most elusive runner in pro football history. And then, unexpectedly, he just retired after the 98 season. He was just 1,400 yards short of breaking the NFL's all-time rushing record. Hey, Barry Sanders could have done a lot more. As it was, he was still really, really good after winning the Heisman, and he comes in at number two. So who could come in at number one of our Heisman Award winners that actually did go on to bigger and better things? Well, it's kind of weird because this is a guy that went to a school that absolutely doesn't produce Heisman winners, but he did it. Then he went to a team in the NFL that had usually found ways to lose the big game. Fortunately, our number one entry didn't believe in the odds because he always seemed to come through in the clutch. When it looked like all hope was lost, that's when this guy was at his best. And that is how you get the nickname Captain Comeback. Roger Staubach attended the Naval Academy. How in the world do you win the Heisman in the Navy? He eventually, of course, ended up with the Dallas Cowboys. He was a six-time Pro Bowler. He won two Super Bowls. And he has one of the best winning percentages by an NFL quarterback in history. With Roger Staubach as a starter, the Dallas Cowboys went 85-29. He lost less than 30 games in his entire career. He won 75% of the games he started. Didn't end when he won the Heisman. He actually was better in the NFL. That's just who he was. As we look at this latest list of Heisman contenders, we talked about him a little bit this week. I know many times our first reaction is, oh, you won the Heisman. That's the kiss of death. And yes, that has happened a number of times, but it doesn't have to be that way. We have seen Heisman winners go on to be greats in the NFL. We'll see who ends up winning that Heisman this year. Hey, it is Friday. We have made it through another week. I hope you are enjoying the podcast each and every week. We will, of course, be back on Monday to discuss all of the happenings over the weekend. A ton of things going on, and we will be doing our best to keep you up on the latest and greatest in the world of sports. I say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you for reaching out to us. Thank you for sharing the show. Thank you for subscribing wherever it is that you listen. It is truly appreciated. Have say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all on Monday. Have a great weekend.